Welcome to The Lovumentary, a podcast dedicated to finding out the truth behind what creates deeply passionate, connected, lasting love. In every episode, I sit down with one of the most amazing couples, love experts, or authors in the country and discuss the nitty-gritty details of what really happens inside the most incredible relationships. We dive into the good times and the bad, the sickness and the health, the richer and the poorer, and how each couple has created their own version of true love. My hope is that you take something from every single one of these stories that can help you love more fully and passionately. I'm your host, Nate Bagley, and thanks so much for tuning in. Welcome to the Lovumentary Podcast. It's Nate, your friendly host. I wanted to introduce you to this episode. It's one of my favorites. I say it's one of my favorites at the beginning of every episode, but I really do think every single one of these episodes is one of my favorites, especially since for the last couple of weeks we've been highlighting my favorites. So I guess that's maybe why it feels a little bit redundant. But I love Maggie and Mariano because they helped me realize a lot of really important things that I had never realized before. One of those things was that I have in my brain a meaning-making machine, and that everything that happens in my life, I assign a meaning to it. And sometimes it works on overdrive and it gets a little bit crazy and it gets me into trouble in my relationships. And they talk a lot about how they manage their emotions or their runaway thoughts within their relationship so that they actually have a really stable and healthy way of communicating. And they're just a wonderful couple. Maggie runs the Modern Married blog. You should check that out. She is a fantastic writer and curator of amazing people. And yeah, so I hope you enjoy this episode, and I also hope that you check out Unbox Love, which is the project that I'm working on. It's the reason why you're getting a lot of reruns right now, because I'm spending so much time working on Unbox Love. It's a date-in-a-box subscription service, and you can go to unboxlove.com and use the coupon code LOVEYOUMENTORY and get a special discount because I love you. And if you want to give me a gift in return because you're so wonderful, you can go to the iTunes store and rate and review the Lovumentary podcast. And that would just give me warm fuzzies all over my body not in an inappropriate way. But yeah, I hope you do that. I hope you have an amazing, amazing day and that you enjoy the podcast because I made it for you.
For me, it started about a year before when I started to finally let love in and, you know, take some risks. 2005, okay. Beginning of that. So I had a crazy year of internet dating and all kinds of things. Read all kinds of dating books and did all kinds of things I'd never done before. Joined the singles club. All those things led up to my big trip that I did in Greece with a friend, where I had a spiritual awakening and came back a changed man. I was writing middle of the night and going through all these things. I started a spiritual discussion group to try to figure out whether I had a nervous breakdown or chemical imbalance or what exactly happened with me, because it was not logical. As me as being an engineer, didn't make a whole lot of sense what I went through. But I found the church that people kind of understood this concept of spiritual transformation, that a friend directed me to. And 2 months later, we got to meet. Like, I was with some friends after a service on Christmas Day.
Yes, we met on Christmas Day.
Yes.
Wow.
So we met. We ended up sitting across from each other. She was with some friends. I was with a different group of friends. I mentioned to her that I had a spiritual discussion group, which apparently intrigued her quite a bit.
And I said, who does that? Who has a spiritual discussion group?
Right.
He does.
I know one guy who does.
So we exchanged emails, and I flooded her with emails, to which she had brilliant responses.
Nine emails were received on that first day.
Wow. So it was almost like an internet email romance kind of a thing, because her responses definitely sparked curiosity and interest in me. So
I read them all nine.
Yes. So after sitting down, finishing If the Buddha Dated, brilliant book, by the way.
Great book. If the Buddha Dated.
Okay.
Great book.
Yes. So I made my list of the things I was looking for in a partner, and everything, like her name, her image kept coming up. Seems like she fit the bill. So I wrote her an email for her eyes only.
The title of the email was "For Your Eyes Only." So the first thing I did was print it out and show it to like five of my cousins. Of course.
So, did you learn your lesson?
Yes, of course. Now I know there's no confidentiality. That's not part of the agreement. But I emailed her and
you didn't make her sign the terms of service.
Yes, no. And she called me back the same day.
Right. Wait, when did you email her?
New Year's Day.
What specifically?
So this is what happened right on his side. Meanwhile, back at the farm, I had also written a list of the qualities I wanted in a partner, and I used to be really nerdy, but I still am. But back then, I used to go to work, go to yoga, and talk to my friends and do groceries or whatever. Like, it was super uber nerdy. So I was like, I don't know how I'm ever going to meet this guy. Like, where am I going to meet him? God's going to have to send him to me with a big red bow. A big red bow. I used to say this like all the time. And then I met him on Christmas Day. And before our first date, he sends me a picture. He's trying to be cute, right? So he sends me a picture and he says, because you've been such a good girl, Santa sent you something special this year. And then the attachment is him sitting in a red room. And I was like, I think God is speaking. I think God is talking to me. Big red room, Christmas Day, I don't know. Like, I was like, I freaked out. But I went out with him anyway. After the freak out. So he wrote to me first. Those 9 emails were all about the spiritual discussion group. And he was, at the time, reviewing a book about bad boys and all the different types of bad boys that there are in this world. Apparently, there are 9 types. They all have
only 9
certain characteristics. Yes. Some of them that mesh and mix and match. So he wrote this thing about it, and I wrote back. And this was the whole group was reading this, and I said, in my opinion, there's nothing sexier than a reliable man. Like, I have spoken. And he really liked that because he's really reliable.
I'm reliable. So that really sparked my interest. I was like, really?
Yeah.
Should look further into this.
Would you like to describe me some more? Do you like men with goatees? Do you like engineers?
Exactly. Techie savvy, yes.
Yes.
So then he wrote to me just for my eyes only, not for the spiritual discussion group to read, but my friends, of course, were exempt from that. And he like asked me out, but he asked me out in the most kind and generous way that I had ever been asked out like in my entire life. He's like, I'd like to get to know you better as more than a friend. Like, he made it clear that he wanted to know me as more than a friend.
That was a date.
It was a real date. And then he was like, but, you know, like, if it didn't work out, you're such an interesting person. I would still want to know you. Like, he said it in such a really sweet way that I was like, I'm going to have to go out with this guy because how could you say no to that, right? Yeah. So that's what he wrote to me.
That is awesome.
Yes, and we had like a 7-hour first date. That was-
wow. I need a template of that email.
My name is Maggie Reyes and I'm an email hoarder, so I probably have it. It was 7 hours. Parts of it did not go well.
No.
But parts of it went swimmingly.
Okay, tell us more. What do you mean parts of it didn't go well?
So the first part of it was really nice. We were talking and just
walking around the Hollywood boardwalk.
Yeah, you know, it's like it's Florida, you know, you just go out for a walk and talk. And that was really nice. I think we went to some beachy kind of area.
Yes.
That was nice. Then we went to this Greek restaurant, which is really nice. But just, it's not a romantic place. Like, people dance on the tables there and stuff. It's like not a, like, it's just the
You're not going to have like intimate conversation.
It's right. Yeah. It was just not. So I was just like, okie dokie.
Yeah, she shut down then. I was like, oh, I screwed it up.
It's over. But I thought he was so nice and I didn't want that date to end on that like low note. So after we left, I was like, do you want to get coffee? And I didn't even drink coffee back then. I drink coffee now, but I didn't drink coffee back then. Like, do you want to go get coffee? Let's go to Starbucks. And then we stayed at Starbucks for like what?
Yeah, a couple
like,
hours.
A couple probably. Of hours just to talk. And so it ended on a high note.
Nice. Yes. Way to rescue her.
She did.
Which was good. That teamwork. Foreshadowing of things to come. Yep. So that's how we met. That's how it started.
How long? Yeah. How long between when you guys went on that first date to when you ended up getting engaged and married?
5 months?
So it was pretty quick. So when did you ask me to be your girlfriend?
About 10 days after we...
So 10 days later...
You asked her?
He says...
No, actually, I declared that I was ready to be her boyfriend whenever she's ready to be a girlfriend.
He didn't ask. He made a declarative sentence. He said, I am ready.
She slept on it.
And I said, okay, I'll get back to you. I was so corporate about it. I was like, I will review my options. Get back to you later. And at the time, I was taking a class, which I will never forget. It was at Unity Church, and Unity is this like new age metaphysical church that does these really cool classes. And it was the 12 powers of man was the class. And one of the powers was faith. And you step out in faith. And the whole chapter after he asked me was all, step out in faith. Do things you've never done. Like the whole chapter. So I was like, God is speaking again.
That's funny.
So the following morning, I wrote him an email, actually. Like, I didn't call him. I wrote him an email and I said, I accept. Here are my terms and conditions. And I made it kind of cheeky, you know. And then we were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, like, I think it was, yeah, June that when I proposed. But already, like, I think in February, I already asked her to go on a trip with me.
Yes. In February, like, he asked me to go on that trip in June.
Yes.
And then a couple...
Because I already knew we were going to be together. So I was like...
A couple of things happened in that time. One of them was... I mean, we were in our 30s, so we could kind of, you know, experience life. And we were very kind of blunt people. So we didn't really play any games.
We were very authentic.
Yeah. So
it kind of sped up the process.
So that really sped up the process because I was like, I want you to know me, warts and all. You know, today I'm annoyed or whatever. You know, like we didn't have any, like, weird time or something. And then my grandmother passed away in, I think it was in February. And I was very close to my grandmother, so that was a very... just special time in a lot of ways. And he was like there during that whole time. And I realized when that happened that he was like the person I wanted to go through bad things with. Like, I already knew, like I liked him and he was nice and all those things, but it was like, okay, if something really awful happened to me, he's the one that I would want to go through that with, which is kind of a weird way to say it, but we felt married.
Yeah.
In our hearts.
I felt that was it. We were connected.
Like, from that moment.
Cosmically connected at that point.
And then everything else was just, like, the outer, you know, things that you do. Mm-hmm. So in June, he took me to Costa Rica to propose, which was very romantic. Because I had told him, one day he randomly asked me, like, what do you think is romantic? And I'm like, oh, a walk on the beach. Right? Mm. A walk on the beach. So romantic. So we go to Costa Rica, and I'm like a city girl from Miami, you know, and I love Costa Rica, but some of those beaches, they're like surfer beaches and like
hippies and hippie pot smokers.
Yes, pot smoker beaches. I'm like the Uber nerd, not so much the pot smoker. So he takes me to this beach, and I'm like, I'll stay in the car.
Yeah, she wanted nothing to do with the beach where I was planning to propose to her next day. That evening.
And I didn't know, I didn't realize this was his grand master plan. So he took me to like 3 beaches that day, and I was like, I'll stay in the car.
So it's ironic that the easy part was getting her to Costa Rica, and the hard part was getting her to get out on the beach.
Yes.
You got it all the way there, and she can't get out of the car.
The last 10 steps were the hardest.
Finally, actually proposed. It was after dinner at the place we were staying, which was really pretty. And there was like a wooden sofa sort of thing, like Costa Rican wood, like really beautiful. And he's like, have a seat. I was like, I don't feel like sitting. Okay,
there's a little praying mantis, like, you know, a couple feet away. So she was like, I don't want to sit. I was like, sit. I have to get real forceful.
Yes. He was like, sit down. And I was like, oh, okay, shit.
You guys are so funny.
Yeah, it wasn't easy. But it never is. It's worth it.
So he proposed, and then I was speechless. Like, of course, like, which is very rare for me.
It was probably good that you were sitting down.
Yeah, it was good. I was sitting down. I burst into tears. All I could do was nod. I was like, yes, I will marry you. Yes. Moving my head back and forth. So that's how he proposed.
So what was the space, like, from your first date to the day you guys got engaged?
Our first date was right after New Year's, and then we got engaged in June, and then
the weekend after New Year's,
and then we got married in May the following year.
Yeah, like a year and a half.
Wow. Okay, but this is a really cool story. The day we got married, I had a friend. Well, I have a friend. They're still my friends. When I was single, that I always looked up to them, and I always said I want what they have someday. You know, I want to be like them, and they're so close, and they're just good. You know, down to earth, like awesome people. And they were like my example. And her husband's really reliable man. You know, really good guy. And I was like, I want my own version of that. So when we looked at when to get married, because we're in Florida, we looked at like hurricane season and all these like logistical things, you know, so we could get married in May or November. Like, these were basically our choices. So we're like, November, no way. The sooner the better. So I call my friend, who's been like my marriage mentor, you know, the person that I looked up to like all these years, and I tell her we're getting married May 19th, and she's like, no way. And I thought she was just no way because she was excited because we were like telling her we're getting married. And she's like, that's my anniversary. You're getting married on my anniversary.
That's awesome.
And I was like, no way. So that was really cool. And they flew down for the wedding, which was really
cool. They sang at our wedding.
And they sang at our wedding, which was really cool. Awesome. That was really special too. Yes.
Mm-hmm. My other similar story is my cousin got married 2 years ago on my birthday.
Aww.
So we always joke that she'll never forget my birthday and I'll never forget her anniversary.
It's very cool.
Yeah. That's awesome. I'm curious. It's kind of like an aside from the couple story, but just about like the spiritual awakening.
Oh, yes.
And if you wouldn't mind describing in more detail what that was like for any viewer or like listeners out there who don't really know what that entails.
Yes. Well, I think, you know, for a lot of years I had really repressed a lot of myself, I guess, and so I was very in touch with my rational, logical side, but not so much with my emotions for a lot of years. And I went on this trip to Greece with a friend who was also an engineer, and she's very quiet, so gave me a lot of time to be on my own and think. And we went at the end of the season when, you know, kind of like some of those islands, it's kind of like South Beach, a lot of partying and stuff, but there was nothing going on when we got there. So I ended up like taking a moped and driving around the islands by myself and just having a lot of quiet time, and something opened up. I just started writing. I started journaling. I wrote about 80 pages, I think, of just my random thoughts of whatever was happening in the moment, but I was just all of a sudden in the moment. And I just had this urgent need to write and just experience what it was like to be in the moment and share it, and it was very fascinating, exciting, exhilarating, scary. I didn't really know what was going on. Like, when I got back, I kept doing that. I would wake up at 2 a.m. or 5 a.m. with something to write. And, you know, I've read, you know, about other writers, and that's what it's like, that process. But it's not something I had, as an engineer, experienced. Mm-hmm. But I had always been a good writer. I mean, I took AP English. My teacher always said, you know, wanted me to be a writer, but I just kind of suppressed that part of myself, I guess. And so when that opened, it was like the floodgates open. I just had all this thing, and everything I've been doing that whole year on self-growth, with, you know, prepare to be in a relationship and everything, just all that kind of bottled up, I guess. And the dam's burst. A friend recommended, who recommended that I go to the Unity Church, recommended a book, The Knight in Rusty Armor, which kind of describes it very well. Mm-hmm. You know, how as a man, you're taught to be all, you know, have all this armor, so you go out there and fight, but then you can't take it off. Mm-hmm. So you're like out of touch with your feelings. So that fell away, and all of a sudden, I still have that logical side. I'm still an engineering thing, but I also am in touch with my emotions. I can be more expressive. I have more empathy, more. Mm-hmm. And I have that side of me, so
he's really cool.
I found my balance between the two. But yeah, it was a little scary at first because I couldn't turn it off. It's like, how do I go back to focusing on my work? Or am I have to quit my work and become a writer? What's going on? What am I doing with myself now? That, hence my spiritual discussion group, because I needed other people, different perspectives to help me through this process.
Mm-hmm. And the two of you talked about having a list.
Yes.
And I think lists are actually quite controversial, right? Some people say you shouldn't have a list because it never ends up looking like the person never ends up looking the way that you think it will. But then other people are like, you have to have a list and know what you want. What's your take on lists?
I think they're great guidelines. The problem is if you demand perfection. And I think people get hung up on some superficial things. Like, and I know for a lot of men, it's like, oh, she has to be blonde. She has to be this. And it really is the essence of what you want that you want to get down on your list, I think. And then, you know, you see, when you meet someone, you still you have an open mind. And I mean, you know, we're not identically, I think, what we're on the list, but we are very close.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he surpassed my list for sure. And my list was like 3 pages long. I think it's valuable to know what you want. I think the exercise of making a list can be valuable depending on the energy you bring to the process of even writing whatever you're writing. So we had read that book, If the Buddha Dated, which has a little sort of soulful approach to right. making the list. And when I did the list, I had listened to like this meditation that was a very, so it wasn't the type of list that said, you know, he should be 6'3" and, you know, whatever. It was more like, I wrote things like, I hope he dances at parties and my friends like him. And like it was just very like what I would like, what would be nice, but I wasn't so focused that it had to be every single thing on the list. So I think if you take it as an exercise and being clear on what you want, it also helps you recognize what you don't want.
Yeah, what is
and
a deal breaker?
That's really important too, I think.
Now you can save a lot of time if you realize, yeah, this is not what I'm looking for. This is not acceptable for me. And, you know, someone who lies or who whatever, you know, that it's just a no, and then you can move on.
Mm-hmm. So I think the value for me is like how you approach making a list. I've made many different types of lists in my life and have had great experiences with doing that, but doing it from a soulful place, which may be a little bit different approach.
Yeah, and also from that book, another, you know, there were actually two lists. Another list that was really helpful is, what do you have to provide us as a partner?
What do you have to
and,
offer?
And, you know, what do you have to offer? And that, it's not just, what can you give me? But, you know, it helps your self-love. You know, you value yourself. And you know, yeah, you know, I really am good at this. Or this is an exceptional quality of mine. So having that clarity about yourself, too. It's like, you know, you're selling yourself in a way, in a, you know, meeting someone. So if you're not even clear as to what you have to offer, then how can you communicate that?
Yeah. And one of the things I did, I do a gratitude list every Thanksgiving. I list 100 things I'm grateful for, which is a great exercise because by the time you get to like number 37, you're like Cold Stone ice cream, and the last Avengers movie. And like you start thinking about all the things in your life that you get to enjoy. And one year, which will be an unforgettable year, I wrote 10 things that I was grateful for in advance. And out of the 10 things, only one of them happened. But one of the things on the list was my beautiful engagement ring. And back then, I wasn't dating. I didn't know anybody. It was just like a random thing. So just putting it out there that that was something I wanted, for me, was a powerful experience. The other things that didn't happen, like if I have to find that list, but I don't think I care that they didn't happen. Mm-hmm. So I think if you take it in a playful spirit, lists can be, they can be okay.
Mm-hmm. Did you guys ever freak out? Did things start going really well and then you kind of were like, oh man, this might just be too good to be true, or maybe we're rushing into something? Or
no, I don't think so. But I mean, certainly we had breakdowns. We had emotional wounds that we had to heal. And so.
Remember that time?
We don't. Tell us about it.
So, I mean, we went through things, but I don't know that I had fear about that I was moving too fast or anything like that.
Yeah, I don't think it was about moving too fast, because for us, the timing just felt right. One thing that happened to me with him was I felt this incredible sense of rightness. So, you know, for anyone listening to us now, like if you think of a person that you love that's in your life, or if you think of your favorite like baseball team or something that you love that just feels like right, like it's all cylinders, like everything is like yes, that feeling, I've had that a couple of times in my life. I had it when I met my best friend when I was a little kid, and I was like, she is my best friend, and she's still my best friend to this day. So I had that feeling with him. So it didn't feel like the timing was fast. But I think we both had just fears of who will we become, you know, if we get married.
Do I know enough to, you know, like financially, you know, to have a house and a mortgage and figure out. And yeah, I definitely had fears around that. So but not about the relationship itself, I don't think.
Remember that time? There was something I can't tell you specifically because I honestly don't remember what the specific thing was, but I remember crying in the car because someone was freaking out, and I think it was about like that mortgage, not the mortgage of this particular house, but like just getting married and the whole process and all that. And I was like, oh, I will give you the ring back. Is that what you want? And he's like, no, we'll figure it out. Because I didn't understand. Like, he was freaking out and I didn't understand what.
Yeah.
So if you're freaking out about doing this, then do you want to not do this? Like, I was so confused. Right. I just didn't know. And I remember because I was like, I will give you the ring back. What I remember.
I just did not feel fully ready. And since readiness is so important, you know.
Yeah, readiness is really important to him.
Yes.
So.
I'm a planner, a preparer.
Yeah. So. But then.
Sometimes I jump in. Sometimes, but.
How did you reconcile that? Like, how did you.
Yeah, how did you reconcile that?
How did I?
That's a great question.
I think we talked about it and maybe gave us more breathing room to and plan together and discuss things and, you know, get.
I mean, I know we talked it out. Like, I know, I remember crying quite a bit that day.
Yes.
But then I just remember, like, talking things out and just being. This is one of the things, like, I write about this on my blog all the time. It's probably because of that breakdown. It's like redefining your marriage so that it works for you and not for what anybody else thinks is the right thing. Mm-hmm. So we came to this conclusion, like, we're going to make something that works for us. It's not going to look like anything anybody else does. You know, we both travel for work and stuff like that. And like some of my friends are like, he's going on a trip without you. How's that possible? You know, and stuff like that, that we do that maybe is a little bit different. And I think for me, I think I became so adamant about that. Like, it has to just work for us. It doesn't need to work for anybody else.
Right.
And if I trace it back, it was to that day.
Okay, wow.
I never thought about that until now.
Mm. And I realized it came from there.
Yeah, me neither.
That's cool. Awesome.
Cool. It is awesome.
The custom marriage package.
Exactly.
There is no cookie cutter in this home.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I mean, and you struggled with that in the beginning too. It's like, yes. What does it mean to be a wife? And am I being a good wife? And like,
oh, that was a very big deal. So I am from a Latin family, stereotypes because a lot of them are based in some truth. So Latin girls, you know, they cook and they are very domestic. Not all of them, but a lot of them are. And I am not. I am not any of those things. So I don't know how to cook. You know, I work and I do stuff and I, you know, like, I'm very creative, but I'm not like the traditional, quote unquote wife, which I don't think anybody is now anymore, which is great. But I had all these questions in myself, you know, growing up my whole life thinking, well, what does a wife do? You know, and he's been really great about saying, well, you love me, you're my friend, you support my dreams, and everything else, we work it out. Mm-hmm. And so that was doable to me. If I started thinking about, like, him with the mortgage or me, like, with taking care of the house or whatever, that would, like, freak me out because I'm, like, that's just not me. So that was something that I went through. And I also went through kind of, like, a grief phase of, like, leaving my old life behind. Even though I wanted to go into this new life, like, sometimes giving up something that's good for something that's better, you still have grief about the old thing. So I definitely went through that and looked for, like, books and things to read and didn't find a lot. That became another thing that why I started writing, is because when I needed something, I found, like, one book. Mm-hmm. So that was kind of frustrating.
Mm-hmm. How did you work through that in the beginning, like, not really knowing what your role was, like, what it meant to really be a wife? Like, how did the two of you figure that out together? Like, your roles just with one another as husband and wife?
I think one thing for me was, like, he gave me permission to just be me. And so we started from there. We started from just show up 100% as you. And then, he taught me, I think, more than any experience I've ever had in life, how to work as a team. Because, like, I grew up with a single mom, so we weren't really, like, a family, you know, a lot of people doing a lot of stuff or whatever. And he grew up with a family, you know, that is much more like, we're a team. If somebody needs something, you know, that you call this cousin or that cousin or whatever. I didn't really grow up with that. So,
plus, it's like my comic books, you know, yeah. Justice League. You're like, you're a team and you play to your superpowers, your strengths.
Yeah.
So she's better at, you know, decorating and picking out colors. I'm better at space planning. I'm better at managing budgets. So, you know, we just naturally.
Do you guys have alter egos?
Do we have alter egos?
No.
Oh my gosh, you totally have an alter ego.
You do?
You do.
Oh, wow.
I don't think I do, but you do. He's really fast. Like, whenever he does things, just in general, mm-hmm. like, he's just fast. So, one of my friends started calling him The Flash, and then another friend, I think, calls him, like, Master...
Grandmaster Flash.
Grandmaster Flash.
Grandmaster Flash.
Yes.
Grandmaster Flash. Can I call you that the rest of the night?
Go for it.
I'm going to.
It's out there now.
So we do. That's we do.
So great.
And then
that's what we're going to title it, Maggie and Grandmaster Flash.
I don't think I have one, but something that we do that's alter ego-ish is we talk sci-fi to each other. So, like, when we're leaving the house, we'll, like, set the alarm, and I'll be like, all systems engage. Like, a computer ship.
That's amazing.
This is quickly becoming one of my favorite things ever.
So we do that.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't think I have an alter.
I can't think of it.
No. I'm just...
Super Mags?
All my multiple personalities come out at once.
Super Mags, maybe.
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 I like Superman.
Sorry, I didn't mean to ruin the mojo. You guys were talking about adjusting.
Yeah, adjusting.
Because you guys got married in your 30s, too. Was it hard for you? Was it hard for you, Grandmaster Flash?
Well, you know, like, you lived on your own for so many years. I mean, you do kind of get set in your ways, maybe. So, you know, there probably was some adjustment. And
Yeah. I remember one of the toughest things the first year was learning how to spend time together and apart.
Right. That was a challenge.
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Yeah.
Because that's... So, we talked to this couple the other day that's been married for 60 years.
Right.
And they said one of their big pieces of advice was get married young, because then when you kind of go through your 20s, which is a really transformative period for a lot of people in early 30s, you go through those things together and you grow together as a part of... Instead of growing apart and then having to, like, completely adjust your life.
Right.
So, you guys didn't have a chance to do that, which is totally interesting to me because I'm in the same phase as you were.
Right.
And so, like, how did you take these lives that you had kind of, like, you'd built these friend groups and you'd built these habits and you'd built these careers and then mesh them together?
So, one day at a time. One day at a time. So, we did it. And I think... The first thing for me was, like, okay, all my life I had dreamt of, like, getting married, right? And then I had suddenly had this amazing guy. And then I was like, shouldn't I want to spend every waking moment with him, like, forever? Like, will I ever go to yoga class again? You know, that kind of thing. And it was very hard because we found out really fast that even though we love each other, like, more than anything, we need to have our own things.
Yeah, our own interests and, you know, or even, yeah, what shows we like to watch. Some we like to watch the same.
I think you
can watch more Oprah than I can.
I can watch way more Oprah than
you
can.
So, like that.
No, and then, okay, so my first year of marriage, I was so jealous of video games. Okay, married to a gamer. So, I would, like, go to sleep and he'd be, like, still playing his game and I would just be, like, annoyed. And I have to clarify that he is, like, the most noble person that I know and have ever met. And it's, like, very difficult to get mad at him for anything. Like there are times that I'm like, I wish I could be mad at you right now. But wait, nope, there's nothing. Nothing that happens. So, but I was really, really, like, jealous of the video game. So that's an example of we had to figure out how to deal with that. So I thought about it for a while. And I was like, okay, this is what I want. I want you to come and tuck me in. I want to have together time. And once we have together time and I get, you know, that time for me, then I don't care if you play until 3 o'clock in the morning. And we actually did that. And it's worked out really well. And then years have passed and we, sort of have that as just a habit that we do. And now it's funny because like a year and a half ago, 2 years when I started blogging, now it's like, I gotta go tuck him in because I'm like doing blogging, which is kind of fun.
You have to play blogging.
But I mean, like, one thing for me, it was like, I was clear when I got married, this person is my top priority.
Yes.
You know, before my parents, before my friends, you know, that's just, so when it came down to making decisions, you know, it was based on that. And it's like, okay, well, I have this other family commitment with my parents or whatever, but, you know, she comes first. So I definitely had to cut out a lot of, like, my social group from the singles club and, you know.
Yeah, the singles club didn't quite work.
Yeah, you know, the people, they're at different stages of life. Not everybody could adapt to, you know, you being a married lifestyle. It's just not compatible, alas. So, you know, you just have to make that choice. You have to be clear as to what you want and make choices based on what you have decided. I would say.
Yeah, I mean,
that's really wise.
Yeah, he's a smarty. And we talk things out a lot. Like what he said is, like, one thing is making the decision to put the person first, but like how you put that into practice on a daily basis. And so he and I have sort of practiced this over time where we're like, okay, let me check with the hubs, let me see what, you know, let me get back to you. And all of our friends kind of know that about us, so it's not weird for anybody anymore. It's just like, this is how we make decisions. Mm-hmm. And that has helped a lot.
And also, yeah, communicating, because, yeah, you know, we all grew up in different environments, so sometimes you have expectations that this is the normal. Like, oh, you always, Thanksgiving, what was it, Christmas? You always do this, you do this event.
What was Thanksgiving and Christmas?
I don't even remember, but she mentioned that
we had, we used to have a particular sort of thing that we did every Thanksgiving, and our first Thanksgiving together, I just expected him to want to do everything that I did because I did it. Like, how cool was that, right? And he was like, well, no, I want to do what I want to do. And so it was a really interesting conversation, because that also, that experience of me wanting him to do something just because I thought it was cool, like when I realized that he didn't love me any less, but he just didn't want to do that. It was like very liberating, because it gave us both, I think, permission to say, I really don't want to do that, but this is what we can do instead, or how we manage things. And sometimes, like, I'm in a lot of very social environments where I'm talking to people all the time and doing things. And so when I come home, I just want to be quiet. And he, although he's more reserved in other things, sometimes he wants to, you know, go out and go to the barbecue or whatever. So we talk a lot about, okay, I don't really want to go. It's not that I don't love everyone who's there. I just need some quiet time. And he'll go for a couple of hours, and he'll do that. And it's like, we don't get annoyed. It's not a fight. It's not a problem. We've talked it out so much that we kind of get that.
And we both are diverse, so we both understand that sometimes you just need to be by yourself and recharge, and that's okay.
And that's helped a lot.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, because when they're a mix, sometimes the extrovert says, how come you don't want to go to this party with me? Does that mean that you don't love me? And you get some of those stories made up. So.
Yeah, and we question our stories. Like, if I have a story, I'll be like, I mean, well, I'm thinking this. Is this what this means?
And oh, yes.
He calls it my meaning-making machine.
She has an extra super hyperactive meaning-making machine. Yes.
I have that. That's so cool. Where did you buy yours?
It came installed for the plant.
I have a how do things work machine. She has a what does it mean machine.
But over the years, instead of just like letting my feelings get hurt and crying, I've learned to like ask him, like, what does that mean? And sometimes like it doesn't mean anything. Like sometimes it literally just means absolutely nothing. It means like the PS4 just came out and, you know, he needs to play. Like, it has no meaning other than that. And I'm like, really?
I'm going to be hung up on that all night. I have a how does it work machine, and she has a what does it mean machine. I love it. So you guys mentioned earlier, before we started recording, that you're getting healthy together.
Yes.
Can you talk about that? Had either of you tried to do that independently before?
Yes.
So walk me through what that was like, and then what it's like now to be doing that as a team.
Oh, that's such a great question.
Thanks.
I think I've sort of been one of those people who's gotten on the mountain or the wagon and then fallen off the mountain and the wagon and gotten back on. So I've had like high cholesterol before, and I don't like to take drugs. Like, I don't like to take things that you have to take for the rest of your life. I respect, you know, all knowledge, and I just don't like to do that. So I lowered my cholesterol by like 30 points just by nutrition and doing yoga and moving more and stuff. And then my life changed and other things happened, and then shot it back up again. So I've kind of been in that thing, and so I've tried things by myself, and then we tried things together. Like, we tried Weight Watchers and it didn't really work for us, and you know, we kind of tried a variety of things. And then this year it's kind of like we drew a line in the sand. It's like, I will not buy another size. Like, if I'm already like, no, like, this is it. This is the largest size I will be, kind of thing. And he had done the South Beach diet before.
Yeah, the year, or I guess about a year before we met, beginning of that year, I had lost 20 pounds doing the South Beach diet and a lot of exercise. So I knew it works if you're willing to stick to it.
Yeah.
I just hadn't, for whatever reason, been willing to commit to that level of commitment or dedication. And now it's like, I have to.
He was like on fire. Like, he was like, we're doing this.
Yeah.
And then it's like, there's nothing more inspiring to me than seeing him on fire like that. So I was like, okay, we're doing this, you know, which I don't think I would have been, you know, by myself. But, and because he's a planner and he likes to research and he likes to be ready, he like read the book and then he read the companion book and then he like got the online, you know, in the Kindle so he could look up stuff and all that. So for me, as the partner, I just asked him, what do I do? You know, like,
what can I eat?
Can I eat this? Like, I'll text him and be like, is this approved? I swear. Like, is this okay? what was it? Cranberries. It was like, I was like at a restaurant and there was like the salad and I'm like, cranberries? ? Was like my text. And he's like, doubtful. Stay away. So that makes it fun too.
Yeah, but you know, we're eating the same food, so we have healthy food at home. So it's not like you're eating someone else while you eat a pizza while you're eating a salad.
Right, right.
So that could be hard if you're not in it together.
So has that improved your relationship?
Has it improved our relationship?
Or has it just improved your state of being overall?
I think it improved our health. I mean, our relationship was already pretty good. So
I think our relationship is like, I don't want to say work because it doesn't feel like work, but we engage with each other every day in a meaningful way. And that has not changed neither before nor after this process. But this has added like another layer to that, I think.
But we do enjoy doing projects together. So in that sense, yeah. I guess. Yeah,
we like working as a team. So like, if we're going to repaint our bedroom or something, like for us, all the elements that go into the teamwork of it is stuff.
Is that what they call it now? Repainting the bedroom? Sorry, I shouldn't have said that.
Yeah, she's turning red.
She is.
If only you could see, I look like a beet.
And we do have breakfast together. That's a nice plus.
Euphemism for sex.
Yeah, that's something we didn't do. That has helped our relationship. We didn't used to have breakfast together. Like, we were like, we would get up and, you know, he'd go his way and I'd go my way. And mm-hmm. He'd be like, okay, see you later. And now when we started, especially with the things we could eat the first 2 weeks, which we could like have five things.
And then we had the daily weigh-in in the morning.
So yeah.
You know, so it's like a routine. Yeah. Yeah.
So that has been really nice.
Yes.
Actually.
You said that you don't want to call it work because it doesn't feel like work. Can you talk more about that? Because I think something that we've talked about in a few of the podcasts is the idea of marriage being a lot of work.
Yeah.
So can you talk about that?
Sure. I just don't like the connotation with work is kind of like you have to
get paid to do it because it's so yucky.
Effort, right? Like you have to do it even when you don't want to, and it's an effort and that kind of thing. And it's like, it's for me, it's...
Call it something else. Call it engagement. Call it participation, you know? Like, yes, you have to. You're in it. You are taking a part of it. You have to engage in activity.
It does take...
Around to it. Yeah,
yeah, it does
but take... But just the word work, I guess, it can be negative or be the only word.
And if it's negative, like for me, it's negative. So I don't like to use it.
Mm-hmm.
But it does take daily planning, engagement, activity. It's a
communication
daily thing.
Yes.
So I do think it requires that. But to me, there's like nothing more fun. Like when I think that I met the love of my life and I married him and I get to see him every day, like how cool is that? Like,
sleepover.
Do it. You know, we actually, when we go to sleep, I tell, like, we have our talks and we talk about the day, whatever. And I'm like, I can't wait to see you again tomorrow.
Because you're so cute.
The cute meter's like breaking. It's maxed out.
Breaking.
Yeah, we get to have sleepovers every day.
You know? It's going to break through the glass. That's awesome.
So, but it is an investment. Like, it's an investment of your time, and it's a priority where he taught me, because he did his MBA, so he'll bring in business things to, like, the most random conversations. So
everywhere.
I'll be, like, watching, like, White Collar, and he'll be like, opportunity cost. If you watch this show, you can't watch the other show. Or whatever.
You are awesome.
So like, opportunity cost, like, we choose to make each other a priority, which means right. other things are not a priority. And that is, you know, that does require an investment of your time and your energy and your intellect and of everything that you are. But I just personally don't like to call it work.
Right. I agree.
What's the best part?
Seeing your best friend every day, hanging out, sharing your day, having yes. someone that's got your back, you know, no matter what, you know, they're going to be there for you. You know, some days are great. Some days you have a bad day at work or something happens, but you know, you don't have to go through it alone.
Isn't he the sweetest? For me, I have to say the same. I mean, the best part is, like, I am, as I mentioned, uber nerdy. And he, like, loves all those parts of me, even the uber nerdy ones. And I don't have to, like, be more reserved or be any other way. Like, I could, like, jump up and down about something because I'm so excited. Like, you know, something's happening. And he's just, you know, he's amused in a loving way. But, like, having someone accept all different parts of you, I think, for me.
True.
Mm-hmm. How soon into... you two knowing each other, did you know, like, were you able to look at the other person and say, this is my best friend? Or was it something that grew?
Ooh, where?
Now, let's be clear that I don't call him my best friend, because my best friend has been my best friend since sixth grade, and she will listen to this interview.
So let's call him your best husband.
Yes, let's. My best and only. I think it took me a tiny bit longer than it took him.
Yeah, like, remember, when I went to Greece, all my doors flew open. My heart was wide open when we met. Yeah. It took a little more work.
He had to knock down some walls.
It's true.
But I definitely, like, when everything happened with my grandmother, I was very tender. Like, my heart was open, like, broken open, mm-hmm. right, like they say. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, the deepest moment of connection happened when that was happening, and then all my family met him and they thought he was amazing, and I had this thing like, oh, my grandmother would have loved you, and it was just like, it was so emotional. Like, I knew so many things, like, in that,
I mean, she knew me better than anybody within a very short time frame. I mean, I don't know what date, but like within a month, like, where, I mean, obviously we still went through things, we had things to learn about each other, things to work out.
Ups and downs.
Our own, you know, various trauma from the past that we hadn't dealt with yet.
Wounds to be healed.
Yes. Yeah. But still, you know, she knew me better than anybody. She understood me better than anybody. Not just the facts, but, you know, like, got it. So.
Oh, you know what else I love?
Tell us.
Oh, my gosh. He's, like, really, really smart. He's, like, really, really smart. So he doesn't care how smart I am. Because I'm not that I'm like a genius, because I'm totally not, but I've been around people where, because I have opinions, I'm like a sassy Cuban girl from Miami, so I have an opinion about like everything. And like, some people don't like that, and if I make like an intelligent argument about why I have that opinion, like, it totally like freaks them out. And like with him, he'll be like, that's really interesting, and did you ever think about that? And then he'll like add to it, and I love that. Like, I love being able to share with a person that way.
Set.
This is a love fest up in here.
You two are just awesome. And this is just an aside, but, well, never mind. I'll tell you at the end of the
interview. Tell us now.
No, it's at the end of the interview.
We'll tell you at the end of the interview.
What has been one of the biggest challenges that the two of you have faced? You've been married for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
What is one of the biggest challenges you faced in that time, and how did you get through it?
I think our first year, I had really bad trouble sleeping. I had bad insomnia. Like, really, like, I had to go to a sleep doctor bad.
Wow. And me too.
And he had...
sleep apnea.
Sleep apnea. Mm. But we didn't know it. We didn't know
what
it
was. I put on weight, like, first year, and all of a sudden I went from being a loud snorer to being a loud snorer who wasn't
breathing.
Keeping my wife up and was not breathing, so...
And that was really, really... That was, like, one of the hardest times. And I was happy in many aspects of my life, but it's really hard when you can't sleep, you can't do, like, anything. Yeah. And I remember, like, being on the sofa that you guys, you know, and, like, crying and, like, being, like, I wish more than anything that I could sleep. And it was just, like... As like I'm a really positive person and I always look for the bright side, and I was just like in pain and there was like no bright side, you know, and that was really, really hard. That was hard. Probably one of the hardest things that we went through. And then I found a sleep doctor. So one of my sleepless nights, I was up on the internet and I randomly, I don't know how, I found this man who's in Florida who had been on the Today Show. And then I clicked on his little thing with Matt Lauer and I'm like, whoa. If he's good enough for Matt Lauer, he's definitely good enough for me. Let me call his number in the morning. And that is like the doctor that I went to, and he was awesome. He was like amazing. And it turned out, because I didn't know what I had, he just asked me like a bunch of questions, and I had this thing where my rhythm was off, which is a thing that you could actually have, which I didn't even know that existed.
What do you mean rhythm?
Like, my body didn't know when it was time to be awake and when it was time to go to sleep. And, like, we have all these screens, like the TV screen, the phone screen, the computer screen, the lights on. Yeah,
the lights telling your brain, artificial lights telling your brain, it's still time to stay awake.
So it's like my internal clock was totally out of whack. Mm-hmm. So it turned out that the solution to my problem was, like, so much easier than I imagined. So he put me on this regimen where I had to wake up at the same time every morning and I had to, like, get sunlight, like, just sit by a window. And it didn't matter what time I went to sleep that night. I had to wake up at the same time every morning. And then I couldn't stay in bed if I needed to. Like, if I wasn't falling asleep, I had to get up and do something without a screen. Because that will just tell your eyes it's time to be awake. And so he gave me, like, a procedure that I could follow to regulate my inner clock, which is great. And so then that really worked for me, which then eventually then he went. And then that really helped him too.
Right.
That was really painful. Hard.
If I and I felt responsible for my, you know, sleep apnea and keeping her awake too.
But he wasn't. He wasn't.
Well,
we are all responsible for ourselves in this life.
So I want to know about your blog a little bit. How you started blogging and why and what inspired you.
So. Well, when I was going through that thing where I didn't know what a wife was and how do you become a wife or whatever, I found this one book that was like about being a soulful bride or something like that, which really, really helped me. But I didn't really find anything else. And when I got into the idea of what I might write about, which I'll explain why I started writing in a minute, I just thought, you know, there's counseling for people that are in pain and that they know that they're in pain, so there's that. And then there's, like, weddings for people getting married, and there's, like, a million and one resources for that. But there's nothing, I mean, I couldn't find anything that was just for this person who's, like, okay, you know, like, I was kind of okay, nothing was really wrong, but I wanted to be better. And so that was the idea in my mind when I started blogging. And the reason I started blogging was because I was in a job that I was very frustrated with a lot of things about that particular job. And I was very successful at it and did well at it, but I just felt like something was missing. Like, there was more to this life than what I was doing from my cubicle. So I set out on this journey. It was like a 2-year journey, I think. And he was awesome because I was like searching for like my thing, you know. And I took a million workshops and I went to retreats and I like... And I was like, maybe this is my thing, or maybe that is my thing, you know, and I kind of just like went through this phase where I was just searching. And it actually, one of the things about being married and that incredible feeling of rightness that I had was suddenly everything that wasn't right came up because I could recognize it, like, oh, this feels right, this doesn't feel right at all, this feels right, this, you know, that kind of thing. So I went on this whole kind of search. And then I was in a workshop, like the 35th one. And one of the girls was like, you should think about becoming a life coach because you didn't let any crap into this exercise. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. Okay, I'll look. I'll add that to my list of things to explore. And that's really kind of the way that I sort of stumbled into blogging. And then I was like, well, what would I want to write about all the time more than anything? And I was like, I think there are simple things that we do every day that we now kind of take for granted a little bit, that if people knew these simple things, they could be so much happier. I think I could write about that. And that's how it started.
So what are some of those things?
What are some
that was great. Thanks for sharing your story too, by the way. That was really interesting.
One of the things is called the daily check-in, which I'm fanatical about. I always tell everybody to do this. And it's when you come home, just talk about your day. And it seems like something so obvious, but you'd be surprised at the number of people that when they come home, they go here, they go there, they do this, they do that. They don't really make a moment to connect with each other. And that's how people start growing apart. So when we come home, we tell each other about whatever it is that's happening, the soap opera of our lives, you know, all that stuff. And then it's also really cool because if something really crazy happens at work, I'll tell him, you know, I had a really crazy day today. I might be off. It has nothing to do with you.
Right. You don't take it personally because you know they have something else going on.
So he's not on pins and needles wondering, what did he do? And he's like, what did I do? Or whatever. Yeah. And so, and that process of the daily check-in, it's like, that's like how we know those ups and downs that we both go through, that we know what's happening with the other person. So that's like one simple, really easy thing that you can do. And the other thing is, like we talked about the meaning making machine, it's like ask. Yes. If you're making up a story, you know, and you're feeling pain because of the story that you're making up and telling yourself, just ask the person, I'm thinking this. Is that what it is?
Yes. Would you agree? Definitely.
Oh man, that is such a simple but awesome tip. Awesome tip.
Oh yes.
Because I feel like the few times that I've done that and it works out, it's just like, oh okay, it's not a big deal, you know, like that the story that I was making up wasn't really a big deal. But it's hard to sometimes catch yourself doing it because it's such an ingrained process.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of women in particular struggle with this because it's just the way our brains are collapse. Wired.
You don't even realize you're doing
the story from the reality. You think it's the same thing.
It is.
How often does for you does the story match the reality? Like when you hear her say, this is what I'm thinking, you're like, yeah, or no.
Usually, and you know, if not, I ask. I mean, we do.
Yeah, I think.
I don't know if that's a picture with me.
I think.
No, but does her story match what's really happening, typically?
Oh, usually, but I think, you know, we've had more years together.
Oh, okay.
You know, she knows me better. In the beginning, not always. So
right.
Sometimes she assumes something that maybe wasn't true.
Yeah, I think like the more time we've spent together and the more that we have communicated so much now it's much easier not to collapse the two. But in the beginning it was I think it was really important to learn to do that.
Yes. I can think of a couple of instances.
Yeah. We'll leave those for another time. I think those are two of the for me, what would you say? What would you say is like a simple tip or something we do like all the time that's useful?
We check on each other as to what's important.
Yeah.
You know, and like if like she really wants to do a concert or I really want to get a PS4, you know, we make sure we support each other for what we want to do, or, you know, she wants to do work on, you know, blogging and, you know, how can we support each other? And I think that's very important.
You know,
if you don't feel supported,
yeah.
And something that you really, that's your passion, that, you know, that's, I mean, I've seen, you know, as a gamer, you know, you certainly, and I follow a lot of gaming blog everything, you know, where, you know, the significant other is like, oh, that's a childish thing. Why are you doing that? You know, you're supposed to be an adult. And there's a lot of negativity around that and shame. People having almost like, it's like an addiction. You got to hide it. No, we don't have
whereas
that.
It's a passion. It's like, yes. It's a passion. It's just like, I don't know, winemaking or dressmaking or whatever. It's just something he loves to do. So. Right. But one thing we do is we prioritize. Like, so if we, let's say there's a family barbecue and then there's Michael Bublé is in concert and whatever, I'll say, you know what? I don't really want to go to this thing, but if it's important to you, I'll go. So we talk about like the level of priority of the thing that's like happening, because sometimes it's like, oh, I want to go and, you know, have a coffee with my friend, but I could care less. You know, if he wants to come or if he doesn't want to come, it's not going to make a difference to me.
Right.
But maybe my, you know, big party or something, it really would make a difference if he's there. So we tell each other with words.
Yes, words.
You know,
you're not like shooting thoughts at him.
If you love me, you should know what I want.
Yeah. You're not telepathic. Okay.
So that's,
so we can rule out Jean Grey.
Yeah. So, yeah.
That was an X-Men joke for those of you who didn't get that.
What do you think are some of the most important qualities in a husband, and what do you think are some of the most important qualities in a wife?
Wow.
She's going deep.
What did you ask first?
I get to go first. I think it's... I think both people, number one, need to want to be there. So I think that's really important no matter what, whether it's a husband or a wife. I think when I think of a person, I can't say for a husband, I think for like a person, you know, to have integrity, to say what you mean, to mean what you say, and to do the things that you said you would do. And if you can't do them for some reason, to say, hey, I can't do it for this reason. To me, that's like a cornerstone of any person, not just a husband or a wife. And to be willing to be open to this new person and to their experiences, like to not have a set way in your mind that everything in life must be, to be open to their ideas and to their view of how they see life, and to put yourself to see life through their lens, I think is a good quality. But I would think that's a good quality for a friend or for anyone to have.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's like, oh, well, a wife should be nurturing and a husband should be whatever. I mean, everyone makes a relationship that they want with, and everybody's different. So, but yeah, there are certain universal things that everybody should strive for, you know, having more empathy. If you want to understand somebody else's point of view, that's huge. You know, if you're going to be in a relationship, whether you're a man or a woman, that you need to have that. So I think things like that, and, you know, being honest with the other person, you know, about who you are, about what you want, about what's working, what's not working, you know, be able to have that honest dialogue with each other, I think is very important. But I don't know anything that's specific for a wife, or a wife should be this. Hmm. I don't think I can think of that.
I love that you touched upon the honesty thing, because I think so many people get into trouble because they're not honest with themselves. So it's really impossible to be honest with another person when you yourself are not telling yourself the truth about what you want or what you don't want or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's like, I can be a good wife now that I know what I know and I have been married, and I know it doesn't mean just washing dishes, although we do wash dishes together, which is kind of, we make it fun.
That's awesome.
But to be a good wife, I have to be in integrity with myself first. Like, I have to be cool with whatever is going on with me before I could be cool with another person.
Yeah. Can you talk a little more about that?
I just think, and maybe I'm totally off base, but I think a lot of people think when I get married, everything is going to be okay. And like, because I'm married now, all my problems will magically disappear into the ethers, you know. And when you get married, you're still you with all of your hopes and dreams and disappointments and wounds and achievements and accomplishments. And you're just you with this person who also has a combination of all those things. So to be friends and to be, you know, to love each other and to be connected physically, emotionally, and all that, you need to find a place of peace within yourself to offer that to the other person. Like he was talking before about making that list of what I have to offer the other person. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have it all figured out. You know, God knows we don't have it all figured out. We figure it out one day at a time, every day, and a lot of times we figure it out together. But just being in the space of asking those questions of yourself and saying, what makes me happy? What excites me? What do I want out of life? So that you can share that with another person To me, I can't imagine having a healthy, strong relationship with another person without having a healthy, strong relationship with yourself.
Yeah, and if you have the expectation that someone else is going to save you or make you happy or compete you, then
they'll always fail. Yeah, that will never work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to be happy in yourself first.
If you guys could give one last piece of marriage advice, like if you could never blog again, if you could never sit down and like dispense marriage knowledge again, what would you tell people to do to have a relationship like the one that you have?
You go first this time.
I would say, well, first be yourself, you know, be authentically who you are, know who you are, know what you like, what you don't like, and show up as that person, you know, communicate clearly who you are and share of yourself, but as the person that you are.
If I had to pick only one, Nate, oh my gosh, I would say question your assumptions. And the reason I would say question your assumptions is because when you live in the space of a question, anything is possible. When you think you know all the answers, nothing is possible. So if I could never say anything again on the topic, it would be question your assumptions and see where that leads you once you do that.
Yes. The bar that phrase I've used, haven't used in a while, choose again.
Choose again.
Yes.
Something that's come to mind a few times while you guys have been talking is I was sitting down with a couple the other day, and the wife said that one of the qualities I never knew was important in a relationship, both for herself and her husband, was teachability. Mm-hmm. And the way that she put it was like, you know, she felt like she had her PhD in communication and that he was like still like in kindergarten, and because she had, you know, gotten her degree and did her thesis on it. And what she started to say was, what if I'm wrong? And that was the question that she would ask herself, like, what if I'm wrong? So about turning things into a question. Yeah. And she said that the relationship and the marriage became so much stronger when she was willing to be taught. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is so much of what you guys are saying. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you go in with the teachers with a willingness to be taught, then it gives you the opportunity to learn. Mm-hmm. And then that just opens up the door for a really awesome, awesome marriage. Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
So.
Agreed.
Well, I think this is it. Do you guys have
this
any?
Is it?
Oh my gosh. Do you have any last thoughts? You guys are officially our last couple that we'll be interviewing together.
What an awesome bookend.
At least this year.
That was great. I don't have anything else to add, but this was definitely a lot of fun, and I hope someone gets something useful out of it.
Thank you so much. It's such an honor to sit with you guys and talk with you guys, and I'm just so excited about what you're doing. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. It's an honor to be in your home and witness something so awesome that you've created.
Yeah, for sure. Peace, Internet.
Peace.
Holy farts, wasn't that an amazing episode? It was so good. I wish I could just hang out with Maggie and Mariano every day. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. If you liked it, share it, rate it, review it. Send me a note. I love hearing from you. And I hope you have an amazing day. I love you. See you next week.